everyone. This is Ryan with Products Hunt Radio. I'm at BetaWorks in New York, and you guys have an awesome office. It's very colorful and a little bit crowded as well.
Yeah, super crowded.
Yeah, yeah. But how are you guys doing?
Good. Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah. So, Maya, do you want to talk about BetaWorks real quick? I know a lot of people probably know BetaWorks, or at least a lot of the companies behind or in BetaWorks.
Yeah, so my name's Maya. I do community development at BetaWorks. For those of you who don't know, we're a startup studio in New York. We do a couple different things. We do investments, and we also build companies. So some of the companies you guys have probably heard of, Instapaper, Dig, Poncho, Giphy, Dots, basically all of your favorite.
And what's
things,
your
probably.
Favorite?
My favorite? Well, it's Instapaper. I've been an Instapaper fan for years. But they're all, Giphy is amazing. We use it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giphy Chrome extension is one of my favorite
It
tools.
Is a literal game changer.
It's a superpower. It really is.
It really is.
Yeah. And Matt.
So I'm Matt Hartman, and I run work on the seed investing at BetaWorks. So, but I get to play with all of the products from the studio also. So it's fun.
Nice. When did you join? It wasn't too long ago, right?
Yeah. So I just joined about 4 months ago, beginning of March.
I actually asked Josh Miller this question, and because he's a part-time partner, right? And I asked him, "What's the craziest product you've been pitched? Does any come to any
so
come
many.
To mind?"
Without naming names.
Yeah.
I had to think about that. The craziest product we've been pitched. Crazy meaning like totally like this would never work, or crazy like, wow, that'd be awesome.
Either or, really. It's kind of crazy's up to your own definition.
Yeah.
Maybe, I'm putting you on the spot, so maybe there's
I'll think about that one.
You probably don't want to offend or flatter, depending on the person's perception. But and then Instapaper, so Brian, you're working on this paper.
So my name's Brian Donahue. I'm doing development for Instapaper, some product stuff, roadmap, marketing, sort of wearing a lot of hats at Instapaper.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. And you came out with an update last month?
Yeah, it was early May. Yeah.
Early May, okay. So I forgot how time flies.
It was like the whole Instapaper redesign, new logo, and the sort of flagship feature we launched was text highlighting, which has been something that like we've gotten requests for like consistently month after month, and it's like kind of interesting because we sort of build our roadmap based on what our customers or users are asking for.
You don't go in a room and just like brainstorm and ignore what everyone says.
I mean, you know, there's some like independent thinking
but
I mean, it's great that we have like a lot of vocal users that will like tell you exactly what they want. Like, I would love for Instapaper to do this. It's like, all right, great, and then we just build it and ship it, and it's like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's cool. So Matt, you have this crazy device that you were showing me earlier, right in front of me.
Yeah. So it is now rendered view. So this I don't know how to describe this exactly, but it's a physical product. It's called Structure. Structure.io. That was a Kickstarter project that takes a 3D scan and you can connect it to. I think they have different versions of it that connect to different size devices. So this one's attached to an iPad Mini, and. It takes a 3D scan, so I'm going to show you. This is the 3D scan we took earlier.
Dude, look at my face is ridiculous.
Sometimes it comes out better. Other times it seems like this time maybe like one side of your face looked a little bit different by the time you got around to the other side of your face.
Yeah, the right side of my face is completely paralyzed.
So just like basically what we're looking at is a 3D scan of Ryan, and he looks like kind of like he had a rough night or something.
But
it's super cool. You guys haven't done one of me yet, right?
We haven't done one of me.
That's a request. I think this is like really cool. And you're like 3D printing.
So what we also have a 3D printer. This one does look kind of funny, but you can kind of spin this around, which is cool, but we can export it to the MakerBot. We have the MakerBot 2, and I just did this is one that we did the first test one. That's me.
Oh, nice.
And so I think what we're doing is trying to print one of you during this. I was hoping that went before, but I think sometimes it takes a few tries to get
it. So this is great radio because we're talking about physical objects that you can see, but this is actually surprisingly
really
accurate.
Good.
You know, I mean, it's small, but
like?
I mean,
my head is definitely bigger.
You have more color than just, you know, completely white, but that's pretty cool. So you could also paint this, or do you have a 3D printer that will also color it?
So I
can do multiple colors.
We have colors, but we only have one like filament head.
Okay.
And so I think there are ones with two where you can kind of alternate, or if you design it right, I think you can probably switch the color in the middle. But what we were thinking was maybe take these and do something like make a like a chessboard or something with all the different busts of BetaWorks people.
Big chess fans.
Yeah.
How do you export it from the app to the?
I used a program called it's called Mesh something. I forget what it was, but basically you just import the file that this generates. It's called a PLY, and then that you can make an STL. You can just like literally import it and then press export into STL, and then you load it up on.
That's awesome.
It's pretty neat.
Are you guys doing anything else with 3D printing right now?
We 3D print everything.
Yeah?
If you look around the office, like, there's just all these random... There's one over there.
Yeah, like
it's like a gear puzzle thing.
Yeah.
Huh. So the thing, I think that... Oh, yeah, right? Isn't that cool?
We need to stop showing you physical things.
I know. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Whoa, I'm breaking it now.
The other idea we had for the little 3D heads was, like, to have a switchboard at the front of the office where everybody's heads are there, and if they're in the office, there's a little light inside because we have what do you call that stuff? It's not straight.
Oh, like filament.
Yeah, like we have one that's glow in the dark, so it's sort of see through. So we're like, we'll make see through heads of everybody, and then we'll make a little hole so they're each on a light when they're at the stand, light can change to green or red whether they're depending on if they're in the office. So we're that's what we do all day.
And then And we were talking about this before, but then you can you have some sort of yo or something to trigger so that you can be notified remotely when someone is in the office too.
Yeah.
And it all comes together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There always has to be a yo component.
Yeah. You were telling me you actually use yo as a utility. You use it for meetings. I know that Matt uses it for.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's, I don't know. I find myself using it just as a way to not sort of interrupt my flow during my current conversation. If I know I just need to like yo the person to say, hey, come join us or something like that. You have to sort of pre-agree what that means. But I do it so when we have our, when I have meetings with like the investment team, I have a group yo that I'll kind of get myself set up and then I'll yo them to come on in. And I mean, I get, you know, or just walk up to them and just say yo sometimes.
Yeah. So there was, did you see yo postcard yesterday?
I haven't looked at it, I heard about it.
I mean, it's getting kind of ridiculous now. So sometimes yo is just too fast, you know. It's immediate and the gratification is just there. You know, yo postcard it's a place where you can ship a postcard that simply says yo. And you
but that doesn't have anything to do with the actual yo API, right?
No,
it
doesn't.
Looks a lot like it.
Yeah, it's just a purple card that says
that's
yo
so
on
funny.
It.
Does it say who it's from?
I'm not sure. Maybe not. You just enter your friend's address and that's it. And
I
put
feel
in
like
card.
A while ago there was that for like Twitter where you could take a tweet and have that sent to a real person, but it would just be like your tweet written down.
Or printed on toilet paper.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, shitter.
Wait, what?
You guys don't know about that?
No.
That was like, that blew up like, I don't know, a couple years ago. It's something called shitter.
How do I search for this on Google without getting
just Google that.
But basically, it would take your Twitter feed and it would print on toilet paper.
Get shitter?
Yeah, I think that's it. And then, you know, you'd buy it for like $20 or whatever, and then you could basically like read tweets and wipe with them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like pretty funny. You know, it's like one of those things that like everyone talks about because it's like just super funny. I think they shut it down. I don't think you can do it anymore.
They're sold out. How do you?
I mean, this is old. This is a really old thing.
I'm feeling. Yeah, I should.
I think they said like we're not doing shitter anymore. You know, that was a joke. But
I wonder how much money they made off that.
It can't be that much.
You never know.
Yeah.
I don't know, $20 for one roll of toilet paper?
Wow. Well,
pretty big margins on that, I would bet.
Yeah. So there's actually an app that I was teasing earlier that I haven't told you guys about, but something I want to show you. It's called UltraText.
Oh yeah,
we all have it.
I figured you guys were up on this because this is. Yeah. I looked at it and was like, this is very colorful. It's very like much like BetaWorks.
Yeah.
It's social and it's
like
gify kind of. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, was that on Product Hunt like a
couple days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just downloaded it and started using it really recently.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing how fast you can make it. Like you can make that animated GIF in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
The flow is just, it's very intuitive. It's very fast. There's no clutter. You open up the app and you immediately start typing.
Mm-hmm.
It also does some smart things. Like if you start typing and then you wait for a couple seconds, it says, oh, hit return to finish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you're new to the app, it's like, wait, where do I? But it doesn't clutter up with a giant like done button or anything like that.
Yeah.
I sort of wish that I could have like a second line, I think. But maybe I just don't actually want that. I feel like every time I press space, like I would like to have two words sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
but
It's pretty cool that it'll do a GIF if you text, but you can also save a video to your camera roll and send it to Instagram.
Yeah.
Which is I just used it once. Basically, Matt was like, yo, check out UltraText.
Yeah.
I downloaded it and just I sent texts to these two, to Maya and Matt, and then posted on Instagram and posted to Facebook, and it's pretty cool.
I think it's interesting that they I don't know if this is on purpose, they have the email thing come up first and then the Instagram.
Yeah, I saw that too. I don't know. Is it because it's generating the video maybe in the background? That's why it's delaying?
That's what I was thinking, but I don't know. Are they trying to get you to email it? But I would imagine they would want an Instagram versus email.
I think it's probably that it has to.
They have to actually generate the video.
Yeah. It's cool though. Well, and I think this whole concept of how GIFs used to be really hard to make and now they're becoming really accessible, love that whole movement. Because the same thing happened with videos, where it used to be so hard to make videos and to edit them, and now all this stuff is really easy for everybody to do. And that's a big part of what Giphy is doing too, is suddenly it's easy to make GIFs and to share them and to find them in a way that didn't used to be.
Have an API to query them. Yeah. I think that's their biggest thing, right?
It's
you can now give it a term and you get a list of GIFs back, and that's super useful, right?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of products built off of Giphy. I mean, some that just use Giphy as the data source, but then also the Chrome extension I mentioned earlier is one of my favorite products right now, because I just throw GIFs into emails all the time. Yeah. It's super easy and accessible. Do you have any really unique or weird kind of creations out of Giphy that someone has made?
I mean, I think the GIF
yourself. They're all
you
weird.
Don't give yourself. That was the big thing.
That's true.
That's also a December product.
Which one was that?
I think that was before your time. In December, Frank built this thing that exploded a GIF into a bunch of images, right? And then essentially what you would do is you would identify, usually it was of people, so you'd identify the face in each frame. And then what you would allow the end user to do is upload a picture of themselves, and it would put your face into a GIF.
Kind of like Jibjab videos. Okay.
But it moved around. So how did you?
So as you put where the face is in the video, it would actually move in each image. So
that's
it would actually
funny.
Do a composite image and then combine them back into a GIF. So there was this recently.
There you go.
Yeah,
so that's great.
That's a great example, the Snuggy one, right? And that's the Tapestry team. and so recently it was my girlfriend's friend had a birthday, and I took a bunch of her Facebook photos and I put them all to GIF yourself in, and I made a bunch of funny ones. I used the Snuggy one. I used a ton of them, and then I just sent her a birthday email with all these GIFs, and she loved it, right? And shared it with my girlfriend and all of her friends, huge brownie points. So I think that was the big thing, right? And GIF yourself then uses the Giphy API, and I think they also use some of the GIF magic to embed on Facebook and maybe
GIF
Twitter.
Magic. Yeah,
their special proprietary magic.
Yeah, that's cool. I remember the Jibjab videos back in, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when they were really, really popular. And one of them is a Chippendales one. Do you remember that? Chippendale dancers, you can put your friends' faces on the Chippendales dancers. And I had some friends do that. And the funniest one that I saw was someone put one of my friends' faces on all 5 Chippendales. So it was just the same guy over and over and over. And I probably could dig up that video. I think it's still online somewhere. It's great.
Yeah. But
Jibjab figured it out. So the way that Frank did it, and I guess that sounds like, is you don't have to say, you just pick which face you want to go on. You don't have to.
Correct.
They've already mapped
that's
out.
That's done beforehand. In the product, you just upload. You pick a GIF, upload the picture.
But it's it's a finite set of GIFs that you can choose from.
Correct.
That they've mapped out where the faces are.
And then there was an admin tool where you can go in. So I really love the in Star Wars where Han Solo is being cryogenically frozen, and Leia says, "I love you," and he says, "I know." I just follow that line. It's super nerdy, but it's it's just a great moment. So I actually asked for access, and I made that one where you just put on Han Solo's face, and then I just and I just send that around to people. So, just super fun, So
yeah,
I think it was super popular, and it was just one of those things that the novelty wears off, and it's it's a good tool, it still works. I use it. Fun.
So are you gonna be ultra texting now? Solely, 100% dedicated.
Matt probably will.
Yeah,
I just tend to hold on to these things for a while. I do think that the problem I found is that as people go back and forth, or you put multiple ultra texts,
you can't.
It gets really intense in your text message stream.
Yeah,
especially because all the colors are bright. It's really nice once, and then when you see a bunch of them, it's
it feels like it's an occasional thing. Mm-hmm. Like when you really want to get someone excited.
It's great when they don't know about the app, and you send a text message out of nowhere. Same thing when people didn't know about that iMessage, you could throw gifts in iMessage.
Yeah.
People's minds were blown.
Oh, yeah.
And I would do that to several friends. I'd be like, how'd you do that? It's like magical.
That was like pretty recently that that became a thing that people knew about.
Yeah, I know. I've been doing it for years. Yeah. I know. Because anyway.
You're the early adopter.
I know.
You know all about that stuff.
Actually, I'll admit, I did not get into the emoji game on iPhone until like maybe four or five months ago. I just never bothered. I know.
That's
weird.
Crazy to me.
I spend a large percentage of my texting time looking for the right emoji.
Somebody just wrote a great blog post about that like last month that was like about the nonsensical categories that things are in and how like monkeys are in animals unless they are making a face and then they're in the human part, and it was really funny.
Yeah.
So just as we're talking about emojis, we have to mention Emojily, right?
Yeah, my new favorite social network.
Does anyone know what it is?
No, but that's why it's so great. Who cares? It doesn't matter what it is.
I can extrapolate from like the homepage is like it's Twitter with only emojis. That's like the only thing that actually makes sense to me. So like you would follow people and then you'd have a feed that is like legit only emojis, including like the user name or the display name. And I would hope there's an avatar because I'm not going to be able to map emojis to humans.
You know what was disappointing is on there it says the two guys who made it and it has their emoji but also their names, and I was like, really? Like you're supposed to be proponents of nothing but emoji.
Yeah.
I got the sunglass emoji.
You did?
Single emoji.
Nice.
I know.
It's single emoji is really really good.
That's going to be worth $2 million.
It's just like Twitter when you have that one character name.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope it blows up.
That's awesome.
You have a good one.
Yeah, I got, my Twitter name is Maya Fish, and I got the little princess girl and then fish.
Of course.
So, that's locked awesome. That one. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's going to be a lot of company. Matt got Heartman. Matt Hartman.
That was inspired by seeing yours. I had another one first.
Did you do the creepy mustache man guy?
No, it's the running man.
Oh, okay.
No, wait. Mine's the running man, but who's
the mustache guy?
You know the creepy mustache. I'll pull him up. Everyone knows the creepy mustache guy.
Yeah, the mustache guy.
You'll know him when you see him. He's one of those guys you just... He gives you the quivers.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want him around.
See, you can't find it. He has no idea where it is.
Right.
Where is it? It's somewhere.
I feel like someone should go. I would love an app where you could kind of search over there. Like all the like a Giphy for emojis kind of.
Maybe that's what Emojily is. That doesn't make any sense. Maybe it turns words into emoji. Like, what if it's your existing Twitter stream and it just imports that and shows it to you in emoji?
It's a sentiment.
And it would
analysis.
Make no sense. And maybe it's like. Maybe it's like some big, you know, metaphor about social networks, and it's like, does it really matter what the words are in your tweets?
Yeah.
I really like just guessing what emojis going to be.
Yeah. Well, I was, so now I'm addicted to emojis, and I was texting my buddy Nathan, and for whatever reason, my reply is intended to be a re-receipt, like, okay, I got you. I just did 4 punches and a chicken, just because the chicken was like right next to the punch.
Mm-hmm.
And then he responded back, it's like, I was imagining like some sort of like fight breaking out while a chicken was crossing the road. And it's sort of this story. So, I don't know, maybe emoji is going to be the next medium for emojis. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a storytelling platform.
Well, people are already doing that with emoji. Like, I sometimes get really creative texts that are like, it'll paint a whole picture, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where it's a story, each, like a linear story with emoji, or the whole...
My friend texted me once, and it was like two birds getting progressively closer to each other, and then they fall in love, and then there's like little eggs.
That's deep.
Yeah,
that's
and awesome. It was like this, you know, there were like trees and a sun. It was like this whole thing.
And you don't need to speak English to understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the real power.
It's really the language of the future.
Universal
language.
Part of me kind of wants that. I don't know.
That would be cool. Well, and there was also that somebody turned Moby Dick into emoji, and it was like a 1,000-page book. Do you not know about this?
No.
It was awesome. I think it's called Emoji Dick. And they printed it.
Is this a trick? Is this a trap?
This is a thing. Michael Galper bought this. Like 3 or 4 years ago, and brought it into I used to work at Aviary with Galpert, and he bought the book. It is a hardcover book that is huge and heavy, and you open it, and it is in color all the emoji from Moby Dick.
Wow,
it's amazing.
This is fantastic.
I know.
Wow. $40. Wow, that's
for the soft cover too.
Damn.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think people are starting to like do more with emoji. Because I think the thing that's really interesting about emoji is that now all of them really mean something, right? So there's like, I forget who did that study about like what the most used emoji are on Twitter, but one is like the information desk woman, because people use that to express a very specific feeling.
Which one is that?
It's the one, I forget if it was the one with her, I think it's the one where she's sitting at the desk. There's the lady, like this lady in pink is like information desk lady, and I think I think it was this one, right? Because she's like being helpful. But that's the one that people use for like, I did that, you know? So like now all these things convey so much more than what they originally were meant to.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so interesting to me about Emojly is like, my friends and I all have this whole language built around specific emoji where like I know exactly what they're saying.
Yep.
Like, and I think that's kind of the cool thing behind it, possibly. I don't know what you would do with that, but...
GIFs also convey a lot of emotion too, and that's why I like how you on Giphy.com you can search by emotions.
Yeah,
that was like a big. Maya had showed me that. Like I was like, I don't know what. Like I'm searching for these GIFs, and I feel like I was searching the wrong way. I need to search by like how I felt, as opposed to like for a particular thing.
Right.
And then it gives you nice reactions.
Yeah.
So Maya, what are you looking at? What cool products are you playing with?
So I've been mostly staring at Emojly, waiting for it to be a social network, but I'm really into Picture Life right now.
Oh yeah.
Which I have been complaining for years and years about the photo problem, like ever since people got mobile phones, it's this horrible thing where I take 100 photos a day, I have no idea where they go, I can never find them, if I take 5 pictures of the same thing, I have all of those copies, it's just like really annoying.
Yeah.
And I think I was just telling Matt, so I switched to Android recently, 6 months ago. I'm one of like 3 Android users in the Betaverse office, so I yell at everybody all the time about iOS and how Android isn't supported. But so with Android in particular, it's this huge problem because with iOS, you at least have iCloud, like auto backing up your photos.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff like that for Android, but there's no official thing. And so it's like, it's this really annoying problem. And I got this phone like 3 or 4 months ago. And until like Picture Life came out a week or two ago, just have been not knowing where my photos are going or where to get them. I don't even know like if my phone is full Android, you know, it's tricky. But so Picture Life is this amazing thing because first of all, it works everywhere, but it really is just automated photo backups.
Yeah.
And they are the first ones to actually do unlimited affordable storage for your photos. I feel like I'm selling it, but I really do love it. And it's the first thing that makes sense to me. Like it's $15 a month. Which actually
unlimited
for unlimited,
bucks
I know.
Really?
Which is like everybody else, like you know, they have some unlimited option, but it's
crazy doesn't compress
expensive.
Your photos either. It's the original quality. I
don't think so. I'm pretty sure they don't compress
they're,
it.
They're not.
Yeah.
If you're paying for them to store it.
Yeah.
If they compress it, then
yeah. But it's really nice. So like that's all I even care about is just like backing it up and making sure that my photos are safe.
Yeah.
But they also have a bunch of cool like you can sort by where you took photos or who's in them or whatever, and so it's kind of a nicer version of iPhoto for sorting stuff.
There's so many times when I open up my phone and I'm trying to find a specific picture, and my best way of doing that is quickly scanning through and thinking back, when did I take that picture and where was it around? And then I'll find one picture and be like, okay, is it above or was it after or before that picture?
Yeah.
And then I keep scrolling. And you know, they're working on that on iOS, but it's still, it needs a lot of work. I want to be able to search by location or a person or...
Well, so Picture Life lets you do that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they have a map in Photos on iOS, right?
I don't know.
Does that not work for you?
But you don't have all your photos, right? You have, like, your last 1,000 photos.
I mean, So I kind of screwed up when I did the iOS 7 beta. I wiped my phone and I lost, like,
tons of...
Like, I still have some of them on an old iPhone 4, but, but before I did that, I had like every photo I'd ever taken up until to 2007 when I got like the iPhone, the original OG iPhone. So I had them all, and it was like, I don't know, a couple of gigs probably, but you know, just like less That's space nice. For music.
For some reason, I don't know, when I never got into looking for my I felt like the dot on the map with your photos in like with like the Apple products that have that felt like they were more just telling you stuff. I actually felt like with Picture Life, I could go in and do the search. Like I would never think in the photo app, it's like, I'm gonna go try to find the photo that way.
Yeah, they also do natural language search. So you can be like photo of people from February or whatever. And it like,
that's
it,
cool.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
Yeah, the other thing is it like you when you do faces, mine didn't sync, I didn't, maybe I just put it in Facebook. I don't know how to teach it whose faces are
I don't
whose.
Know if it does that yet.
It has a thing that says faces, but like...
I think it just shows you pictures of faces.
Okay.
Which is still helpful, like if you're looking for that kind of photo. But yeah, I assume they're going in that direction.
Well, it's actually awesome because I have like a bunch of screenshots on here. I have a bunch of pictures of people, I have a bunch of pictures of landscapes. So if you know you're looking for pictures of people, then and you know where it was taken, like I was surprised at when I looked at that map, how different of a search experience it was. Like I didn't expect it to be that, to have solved that problem.
Yeah, reminds me of how I search my email. I don't know about you, but I when I'm trying to find a particular email, I will come up with the most obscure keyword that I know is used.
Totally, and exactly.
Because if I search, if I'm trying to find an email between you and I, Matt, if I search your name, I'm gonna have like dozens possibly of emails, or at least your name is mentioned in like some other like non-threads between us. And I could do to or from Matt, but then I'm just like, okay, what was that conversation? What was that weird word that I said? Right.
It's like ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, ice cream. We talked about ice cream, Matt, and then like, bam, there it is. Yeah. Like two results.
Well, and that's, I kind of feel like Gmail search was such a game changer when that first happened.
Yeah.
Like, before that, you could never find any emails ever again. And I feel like Picture Life is doing the same thing where they're thinking about how people actually organize things and think about them instead of trying to force them into this organizational standard.
Yeah.
So I think they're great.
Picture Life 3.0, their third version came out, I think, 2 weeks ago, and it got a lot of love on Product Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, 113 upvotes. And a lot of comments, but yeah. So Brian,
yes,
what's up?
New products.
Yeah. Looking at your home. What's on your home screen? I just want to take a quick peek.
Sure.
Actually.
So I actually just cleaned up my home screen, but it's
because you knew this was coming.
Very much a work in progress. So obviously, Instapaper. I have like Facebook Messenger, Twitter, like a lot of like communication and reading stuff. Reddit, Alien Blue is like something I heavily use. I've been trying to use Launch Center Pro. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
But it's basically this app where it's like sort of like a meta app. It's like for launching other apps. And you can do some sort of shortcut stuff. So I have this search Instapaper here. And it's set up so it will automatically search Twitter for Instapaper mentions minus the things people are sharing from Instapaper.
So just deep links into Twitter and add some parameters.
And it
to
does the URL scheme.
That's
stuff
cool.
Like that. But I found it's a little difficult to set up. I met with the founder at WWDC in San Francisco, and he showed me his, and it's like really intense. Like he has like SMS for each contact, and like for like a group, like his family SMS, and he has like sort of all this stuff. But a couple of new things I've been playing with. I have Marco's unreleased podcast app. So that was one of the people I saw out in San Francisco.
Cool.
He was one of the people I saw out there. And, you know, working on Instapaper, Marco started Instapaper and sold it to Betaworks. I asked him for beta access. And I'm not a huge podcast person in general.
Yeah.
And it feels funny saying that on a podcast.
Except for this one. You listen to it religiously.
Of course.
Yes.
So
you gotta stop calling me at night and asking me when the next podcast is going to be.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Seriously, I have a problem. But it's called Overcast. It's like extremely simple. It's funny working on a product that Marco had built, and then looking at this, you can see like a lot of like some things that he improved, right? Like, but like a lot of the same inspiration there. Some of the images and icons, I'm like, I know that image, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. The app is like very clean, simple, focused on the actual functionality. So it's like very Marco style, as opposed, I downloaded Stitcher to compare them. Stitcher has like all these bells and whistles and custom loading and video and like all this stuff everywhere. And it's like, at some point when you're building a product like that, it feels very dishonest, right? Like you go on Product Hunt and it's just like exactly what it says, like daily leaderboard of products or whatever the tagline is. And I felt like Instapaper was that way too. It's like save articles on the web, read them on your phone, and there's no fanciness, right? It's just like, I love Quib too, because Quib is like exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But it was like link sharing for professionals, and you go on there and there's no like crazy animations, it's just links and comments.
Yeah.
So it feels a little dishonest when people do that, and I think Overcast is like extremely simple, useful. I tried to add Product Hunt Radio, like you can add a URL.
Yeah.
So I did blog that producthunt.com. I don't know if that's the correct thing to do.
Wait, is it the RSS feed that they need?
I think so.
Okay.
So I think also though, if you have your website configured in a way that the HTML references the RSS feed, then it'll actually pull it in. So
it's
homework for you.
Okay. Yes. We distribute on iTunes, SoundCloud, Swell, and Stitcher. and it's just, you plug it in, you register, it's pretty easy. Cool. I've been using Stitcher for a long time, and I think if you look at my history, it says how many hours or how many days you've listened, and I'm in multiple days, like almost a month probably. And you know, I use it because it's just, it does what it needs to. It has all my favorites, and I click a button and it plays, but it's filled with so much additional cruft and too many clicks. Yeah. And so this is called Overcast.
Yep. And that's like, so the main screen is like, you have playlists at the top, and then you have which podcasts you subscribe to. And that's like the whole app pretty much.
Yeah.
That you can pick one to play. And at the top you have some action items. And I think I haven't gotten used to this yet, because these all basically take you into a different mode, like settings. You can add a new playlist, new podcast. But you know, it's like as simple as it needs to be. There's like great controls around the audio. I mean, you know, from what my limited usage for podcasting is, like, everything I needed. But then again, I'm not a power user, so I don't know if it's going to really be like replace Stitcher for most people or whatever the popular.
Because at the end of the day, 95% of people, all they want is just to play the podcast they want, like, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
There's a whole discovery piece of that, but I don't know. From my behavior, I just listen to the same podcast over and over, and I rarely ever try and find anything new. And most of it's just annoying to me. I'm just like, where's my This Week in Tech or This Week in Startups? Yep. I want it now.
Right.
Yeah.
So the other one that I like begged everyone in the office to download, because I couldn't use it by myself, is Nozen. So Nozen,
which I think we decided is a bad idea.
Well, no, some people thought it was a bad idea.
I kind of liked it.
It's Knozen.
The anonymous thing.
Yeah, it's sort of anonymous. It doesn't say who rated you, but essentially it's like in an organization, you all have to have the same email address domain, I believe. So like other BetaWorks people had to sign up for it. But you need at least 6 coworkers, and then it shows you 2 coworkers and it says who's more analytical, who's more sympathetic. And then it's just, it's pretty innocuous. Like it's not that, like, you're not like bashing all your coworkers, but then it takes all that aggregate information and builds a profile about like what kind of traits you have. I've been starting to get emails from them where they'll say like, these are the top 15 most sympathetic people in New York City. So it's like, it's actually like kind of interesting.
Wait,
it's
does
like,
show that? Huh? I don't think.
I got an email, yeah. And actually, my friend, you guys know Nick. Nick,
yeah.
Who used to do seed investments. Yeah, one of his friends came up in that list. So I like.
Oh, that's funny.
It. Yeah, it's like, it's pretty interesting. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I know Mark, who founded it. He was also founder and CEO of The Ladders. I think he's just chairman now. But he runs iOS Soho Meetup, which I frequent, and he just launched the app, and it seems to be doing well. I mean, I saw the Business Insider write-up.
That's where I saw it, and then Allison, who wrote that piece, posted it on Product Hunt. Yeah, these are like kind of, these are a little bit dangerous, these sort of semi-anonymous rate your coworker products.
I was just going to show you what it looks like. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I've not seen it actually in use.
You
kind of
like pick the person, and it just tells you.
So can you read the questions? Because they're
this
super.
Oh yeah. More so likely to listen to a complaint. Oh, that's nice.
Right.
I thought it said leave a complaint.
They're mostly positive, positively framed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like who is more patient, and then you pick the person. Right?
So it's not like saying like who's impatient, right? And then you pick that person. So it's not necessarily saying the other person is impatient. It's just like comparatively speaking, like these two people, who's more. And it's weird because sometimes it's like, I'm not sure if this characteristic fits either of these people. So I sort of like pick one at random and just keep going. I don't think there's like a long-term use case there. Like I don't see why I'd like keep opening it and using it. There's some very nice UI stuff just from like a technical standpoint when I'm looking at it. Like they have this like carousel of views for your profile.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like really cool. And like I haven't really seen that done before. So it's like pretty nice, but I don't see why I'm going to open it like once a week or once a day or once a month and like rate my coworkers all the time.
And is the purpose, would you say Mark's goal is to what, be more transparent, like make people feel more connected, make people perform better? Do you know?
So I've been like pitched this by like a third party person just like when they were telling me about the app, and I think like essentially what he's trying to do is create like this personality trait graph where like you like understand like what kind of traits people have, right, and like be able to like graph that out, and then maybe ultimately, I mean, The Ladders is a job placement company, so you know, he comes from that world, and it might eventually like he might use those profiles to sort of match people with companies. I mean, that's pure speculation, but that was like my understanding of it, or how it was explained to me. And I thought it was interesting. It's just like, am I going to use it? I don't think anyone is using it at BetaWorks, really. But
I mean, if it, I don't know how often it pings me, but I kind of like it because it's not, it doesn't feel negative at all. I thought it was going to be much more review, like it was described as Lulu or whatever for The Office. I think it's very different than that.
And the example on Business Insider was awful. It was like, who's more likely to leave early for a date?
That's also, we're looking at their iTunes thing right now, and that's also their screenshot.
Yeah, and so I've never seen that question, and I think that's an awful question.
That immediately, sets a tone.
Yeah. Exactly.
Up when I read
like,
that.
That's what we saw when we were like, maybe we shouldn't even download this because that seems like an HR issue.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
A big threat. HR.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I'm looking at the screenshots, and it looks like, when I just glance at it, here's an activity feed, and it makes me assume that, oh, this is a feed of what everyone's rating, and so now it's going to be public, and at least public in my company.
In your organization.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't actually looked at the feeds at all.
Yeah. So
this is the carousel thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely a pretty app.
Yeah, it's pretty well done.
Yeah. So what are you focusing on at BetaWorks, since you're doing so much stuff? You're doing investing, you're building stuff. You know, I guess each of you are kind of focusing on different things.
Yeah.
But what is like the common theme or connection, I guess?
I mean, I think it's this like user-generated media products is a piece of the theme. You know, I don't know. I think about the companies that we invest in. Like, there's, I feel like it's not. We don't invest ahead thinking, okay, this could be a really good fit for something.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it ends up working out that way. A lot of the companies we invest in end up being platforms of some kind, consumer media platforms or other kinds of platforms. And then it turns out that they're really good fits with either other investments or with studio companies. And so they end up benefiting each other.
I think a really good example of that is like If This and That. Mm-hmm. And so you can see this could potentially do the plumbing for all of our internal companies.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like kind of obvious. And so the perspective I have on BetaWorks is it's really like just a network. It's really interesting the way like John has set it up as a network. So mm-hmm. you have the studio companies here, and there's like collaboration there. And then you have BetaWorks employees, which are like shared resources. So we have like a backend engineer, a DevOps engineer who does like the DevOps for all the companies. Mm-hmm. We have two PhD data scientists that do the data science for all the companies. Mm. We have a financial engineer that does the finances for all the companies. So whereas like in a traditional startup, right, like say Product Hunt or whatever, like you probably can't afford to hire a full-time backend guy, a full-time data guy, and a full-time financial engineer. Yeah. But because we have like this network sort of structure, we can leverage the shared resources for like people, talent, capital, the same way that in an office you might do with a printer. So that, like
you're comparing your data sciences to
in the sense that it's a shared resource.
No, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. I mean, especially because you may not need that data scientist forever. You just need them for a week or two to get to an
And I think some products. So for Instapaper, we do a lot on the data side. So I work very closely with Suman, who's one of the PhD data scientists here. He also works with some of the other companies, but like some of them don't need it that much, or they needed him for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then he's like back on Instapaper. So he builds like a lot of data products that we then turn into consumer products. So like our email list, Instapaper Daily, we have Popularity Sort, like all that stuff comes from him. And we wouldn't have been able to build those products independently because we're all trying to build features for our customers. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I liked it. It's like internal network effects in some ways.
Yeah, and then even in the investments, there's network effects too. If This and That is like, I think, a great example there. And you know, just like talent as well, right? Like if any of these things don't work out, then like they can potentially come work here, right? Like you sort of like are like in this ecosystem where like you have the network and you know all these people, right? Yeah. And then if you could potentially take them and follow them somewhere else, right? So it's like, it's interesting.
Yeah. It kind of gives you an opportunity to take bigger bets because you have a net to fall back on in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
I think from like an entrepreneurial standpoint, the risk is a lot less, right? Like if some startup XYZ that I started doesn't work out and like I run out of money, like I'm screwed. Like what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And there have been products here that have like just not worked out, and like we kill them super fast, and the people are not out on the street and wondering how they're going to pay the rent. They are transitioned to some other products, like wherever it fits. And if it doesn't fit anywhere, then it's sort of like, oh, you know, maybe you can stay on for a little bit. There's a severance or something, and then you go find something else. So,
yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are fascinated by the Betaworks model in general, and you're seeing more and more of those kind of spin up. So I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if the other ones work out, because I think like nobody thought that Betaworks was going to when it started, because it was such a weird model.
Yeah.
And I think like the people who are trying to do this stuff are always asking us like what our secret is. And I honestly, like, I think 90% of our secret is John Borthwick. Like, I don't think you can just go start one of these. I think like you kind of have to.
You can't 3D print him, and
I mean, you can
that's
try.
The next version.
I don't know
is
how
like
much that'll help you.
We already are like almost done with it. So
yeah, we do have his scan already. So if anybody wants to purchase that from us, we can start selling those. But yeah, I think it's just like having someone who really gets this, like he's so passionate about this stuff. And I think that's why it works, because like he never gets tired of this stuff. He makes really good decisions. He knows everybody. And he like, he really cares about good products. Like, he's not in this, and we're not in this for like the revenue, which I think is the problem of a lot of the copycats. Not that we don't care about revenue.
Speak for
but,
yourself.
Well, I'm just saying like, that's not like why we do this stuff. Like we're trying to build good things, we're trying to make things better. We are. Is that making the
piece of it? I know. But money is nice too.
Right. I think when you go into it thinking revenue first, this model is not going to work for you. Because like you have to be able to take bets and try a bunch of things that seem crazy and then aren't, and you know, work.
And most, if not all of your, maybe not all, but most of your products that you build internally are consumer products, right? Have you ever built a B2B focused
some of the
product
products?
Well, what about AlphaWorks? Is that a consumer product? I guess it sort of is, right? Because like consumers are paying to invest.
It's like a B2B2C.
It's a more interesting model, right?
It's just a different kind of consumer, I think.
Some of the, I mean, Chartbeat and Bitly is sort of both. Social Flow is definitely B2B, and that was kind of like for a different time, though, right? It was like,
that was the Twitter wave.
That's the other thing about Betaworks, is like we get to be really flexible with like what's happening right now. Like, we're not locked into any one model or any one kind of company. Mm-hmm. So that we totally transition from sort of like analytics B2B stuff to consumer mobile stuff.
Yeah.
We're able to do that.
Yeah. That's cool. Thanks for coming on the show. This is
thank you
super
so
fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
and
us.
I've been looking forward to visiting the office, because, you know, I've been following Betaworks for a while from afar in San Francisco, and so it's cool to actually be here. I've actually been looking at Kyle's Snapchats lately.
Yeah.
And he's been like taking a lot of Snapchats, a lot of videos. So I've been watching you guys through Snapchat a little bit here and there.
Nice.
Just kind of creepy, but is there anything you guys want to mention or plug or?
I have one.
Yeah?
If you're in New York, I run a product meetup. It's called Product Secrets, and it's really great and really fun. And we have one coming up on July 22nd, and then we have another one in August sometime. But yeah, look up Product Secrets and you'll find it.
I was just mentioning earlier, I love the name, and it reminds me of a skit on Conan. Do you remember this? Where they would have a celebrity on, and it would be, like, let's say, Joe Pesci. You're like, Joe Pesci Secrets.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
How are we not doing that?
I know. It's amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do that at the next one.
Those are fun. Maybe that's how you should open it with whoever's
speaking.
Yes,
I love that. That's perfect. Yes, done.
And then have Conan on sometime.
Yeah, we'll get Conan. No problem.
Yeah.
You're not going to give your email out for seed investments? It's on the I guess I'll plug Instapaper. So download Instapaper, sign up on the website. It's an app where you can save websites for time-shifted reading, and it's super awesome. And that's all.
It does exactly what it says.
It does exactly what it says, no frills. Ryan's going to switch from Pocket after.
I've honestly not been using, I've not been reading as much, so I haven't been using Pocket really as much. But
just been product hunting.
Just listening?
I've just been trying to work. But yeah, it happens.
So if you find a product, like, do you bookmark that page? Like, is there any scenario where you like,
saving
I want to save
for
this
later.
For later?
You know, actually, there's a product I haven't mentioned that I should talk about it's not super sexy, but it's super useful. And maybe that's something I should be talking about more. So it's called Pushbullet. Have you heard of it?
No. Mm-hmm.
Used it? So Pushbullet is a Chrome extension and also a website, but I use the Chrome extension. And it allows you to simply push links or content from your computer to your phone. And so when I'm on product and I see a mobile app that I want to try, the easiest way to get that on my phone is to use Pushbullet. Shoots the iTunes link. It sends me a push notification on my phone. I swipe to open it. It takes me to the App Store. And it's super simple, and it saves me a lot of time in searching the App Store for the product.
By the way, just feature requests, I would love to do that on product.
I know.
So that's what happened like the other day when I had that issue. Like there was an app I wanted to download, so I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go to products onto my phone and then get the iTunes link and go to the App Store. It would be great if like you did like a Twilio integration, I enter my phone number and then just done, right? Like,
yeah.
That would be awesome.
Definitely want to do that, like enter your phone. And then we're also working on iOS apps, so hopefully that will just be an overall better experience.
But and Android too, right?
Someday.
Okay.
Not yet. Unfortunately, most people, for you, unfortunately, most people are on iOS on Product Hunt now. But yeah, we'll work on it. There's a really cool one called LockLock that I'm super jealous about. Yeah. I mean, lock screen, messaging, doodling.
Yeah,
Sounds awesome.
I sent it to everybody I knew in the BetaWorks.
Two people.
Android. It was like a two-person.
Yeah. Cool. Anything you want to mention, Matt?
You were joking about giving my email and stuff, but we are always, like, our contact information's on the site. I'm on Twitter. I'm trying to be as active as possible, but like we read everything that comes through. It's not like going to some black hole. So we're always looking for new cool stuff. A lot of the times we look on product.
So. Sweet. Cool.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks. See you guys.